Well, folks, it is 12:30 Thursday, and as usual, 12:30 Thursday, it's time for Bureaucracy Now. I'm Taylor Clark. I'm a co-host with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, who is still on vacation. And I am joined today by Port Townsend City Councilor Owen Rowe, here live in the studio. Hi, Owen.
Hi, Taylor.
And I'm also joined on Zoom by City Attorney Heidi Greenwood. Hello, Heidi.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good. Everything's working. You know, we haven't on Bureaucracy Now recently let listeners know the origin of the name and the origin of the show. And I just thought I'd take a moment to talk about that. The show was born out of John Morrow's commitment to meet with the community on a regular basis and to promote the discussion of community of city services, community events, really getting us going with citizen participation in government. And he agreed that he would go to a coffee shop every Friday. You remember that?
When
you were first elected.
I went to several of those coffee shop meetings.
And then COVID. And we couldn't do it there. So he took the show on the road with Tim Quackenbush and came here to KPTZ, and we've been doing it ever since. So Bureaucracy, play on the Democracy Now, which of course is our syndicated news program at 11.
Right. I see you have a cup of brew there. I didn't think to.
I have tea.
Tea is brewed as well.
In our new studio, hopefully we can have an espresso machine and be able to set you up. So today, Owen and Heidi are going to be talking about the C&S, the Culture and Society Subcommittee of the Port Townsend City Council, and I'm the perfect guy to ask questions about this because I don't know much about what that committee does.
Well, I can start out. In a way, so there are three committees of City Council. Each committee has three councilors on it, and these are council committees, so they're public bodies, elected officials making decisions, which then in most cases get referred up to full council for
right. So they come to full council with a recommendation from the subcommittee, which cuts down on the sort of hopefully it cuts down on the discussion. You have the discussion at the subcommittee level. You take community input at the subcommittee level.
Absolutely. And, you know, we like to touch the more complicated issues multiple times. So the committee gives another opportunity for council and the public to weigh in and express their opinion. And then in most cases, when it does come up to full council, the major questions have been answered and the council decision is fairly straightforward. And I know—
Hopefully, not always, of course. But
not always, but there are three subcommittees, the Finance and Budget Committee, the Infrastructure and Development
Committee,
and then Culture and Society. And I know several councilors watch the other committee meetings, either live or taped, and just to keep up with what's going on and what else is being discussed so that when it comes up to full council, we're all—
And now you're you're the chair of this committee.
I'm the chair of the Culture and Society Committee, which was a new committee that was created a year and a half ago.
Oh, really?
Reorganized the committees. And really, the way I think of it, finance and budget, obviously, is dealing with the money.
Right.
Infrastructure and development is dealing with our physical infrastructure and buildings and roads and that sort of thing. And culture and society is dealing with the social infrastructure. So it's about, kind of the committee of reference for the Library Advisory Board, for the Arts Commission, for recently a human rights declaration that came before council. So all of those things about how we interact as people.
So the first two, I just want to the Library Advisory Board and the what was the second one? Was
the Arts Commission?
Arts Commission. And how about Historic Preservation? Does that come through?
Historic Preservation, that goes to the Infrastructure and Development Committee.
Oh, because it has to do with our physical infrastructure.
Yeah,
got it. Okay,
but those are sort of dotted lines. There's not like a strict relationship.
But the thing that's interesting about those is that we sort of have a hierarchy here. We have citizens advisory boards who are people who meet and consider, and then they make recommendations that then go to the subcommittees.
Right. They have an advisory role, so they're using their expertise, which is why they get appointed to those advisory boards.
And this is how we're really trying to start at the grassroots level and get that information up into government. Are you the city council liaison for the Arts Commission? Is that
I'm the liaison for the Library Advisory Board.
Okay.
So before I was on council,
I was on
the Arts Commission as well as the Library Advisory Board,
right.
And so I had to choose one.
Both are clearly close to your heart, right?
Absolutely, very close to my heart, and I do still follow the Arts Commission as well. But Ben Thomas is the liaison for the Arts Commission. I'm for the Library Advisory Board, and so this is a great chance to remind everyone that. Next month is Community Read Month.
Braiding Sweetgrass.
Braiding Sweetgrass for young adults. It's the young adult version. We look forward to participating.
But it's appropriate, I understand.
Oh, it's appropriate for all ages.
I think Melody was talking about this. It's an all ages book.
It's not a graphic novel. It is illustrated, but it is still, 250 pages of some really rich ideas about
it. I have only just begun reading it, but I will be making it through because I owe the book back to the next person on the list. So we have Heidi with us today. Heidi, is this the Culture and Society is a board that subcommittee that you attend, correct?
Yes, I'm the staff liaison for the Culture and Society Committee.
And now, I guess I'm unfamiliar with staff liaisons. So every subcommittee has a staff liaison. I guess we had Connie on with finance and budget.
Right.
She's the finance director. We had Emma on with infrastructure and development. She's the planning director. So culture and society is a city attorney thing.
It is right now. Yes.
And what sort of things do you do there as the staff rep?
Oh, I working with Owen, with Councilmember Rowe, we get the agendas ready. I've done a lot of research for the body, which is right in my wheelhouse, something that I enjoy. I attend the meetings. Basically, I'm kind of the staff for the committee. So,
which reminds me, who else is on the committee with you?
It's Ben Thomas.
Right.
And recently we had a committee member switch. So our third member is now Amy Howard.
Ah, okay.
So we had, this is actually interesting for people who follow government. We switched around some committee membership at the beginning of this year.
I know. Mayor Faber made some changes.
So Monica went to the Infrastructure and Development Committee, and we kind of traded her for Amy Howard.
And one future draft pick.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe it's in the third round.
In the third round. Okay.
Yeah, so we're not going to get the ace. No.
You're not going to get the star.
But we do have Amy, so I think she's
a
power hitter.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. I guess my next question, first of all, let me let folks know, if you have a question, this is something we really look forward to. You can join us on Zoom, but I think the easiest way is just toss us an email at dj@kptz.org. And I am watching that. If you see that red light.
All right.
And then I've
seen it on Taylor's screen, so I know where to watch.
So if you have a question for Owen or Heidi, you can give us an email now, I guess my next question would be, what kind of questions would you anticipate people might ask? I have one in mind, but
we could get to yours, but I think the obvious question is, so what does the Culture and Society Committee do?
There's a good question. Okay.
So we are, as I said before, kind of the committee of reference for the Library Advisory Board and for the Arts Commission. One of the things we've been working on recently is the Arts Commission is developing a Poet Laureate program.
Really?
And we've been helping them work out the details of exactly how that gets off the ground and how the Poet Laureate would be selected, how the selection committee for the Poet Laureate is chosen.
Mm-hmm.
They've put a lot of work into that, and our committee has approved it, and it should be appearing before council very soon so that this program can be officially launched.
This would be something where we would have each year, we would have a Poet Laureate for the year.
The way it's set up right now, it would be a two-year term. Two-year,
okay.
The Arts Commission has worked with other Poet Laureate programs across the state and kind of found out what works and what doesn't and really put together what, to our committee at least, looks like a very solid package that will be a great way for Port Townsend to celebrate the literary arts that mm-hmm. is something that is really, you know, core to our identity and a lot of the reason why some people are here.
Well, I think arts in general, but the literary arts, music, visual,
right.
These are all in your wheelhouse there, aren't they?
Yeah.
What about controversial topics? Is there anything that, or maybe I should just stay away from that? But no, I'm gonna.
Where are you going?
I did have something in mind, but as I thought about it, I realized it was probably infrastructure, and I was going to leave it alone. But is there? You know, I'm thinking back to the. The decision to paint the street in front of City Hall a few years ago at the height of the Black Lives Matter movement and how mm-hmm. that was both a wonderful thing and a terrible thing depending on kind of where you fell in the political spectrum. So
that happened before the Culture and Society Committee existed.
Right.
So we weren't really
involved
in that, and I don't know if.
So maybe
Heidi has any comment on that. But.
Maybe the point is to, well, Heidi, do you want to, or should we just leave that topic alone?
The Arts Commission did assist in some of the funding for that.
Yeah.
So it may have been a Culture and Society Committee had the timing worked out differently, but that was something that was done prior to the committee's existence. But we do now have which kind of grew out of that, a street painting code for anyone who wants to.
Oh right,
murals and that's new. The city passed that code a year or two ago for folks that may want to put decorations in intersections.
So there is a method. There's a protocol to go through there now. So it isn't as quite as ad hoc as it was.
Yeah.
Yes. Which is good. Even an application. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a form on the website.
Maybe part of the point here on the controversy is the point of forming the committee was to maybe get out in front of some of this stuff and be more proactive about
that. Really did play into it.
Yeah.
This was something the original idea came from John Morrow, kind of looking at how we can more effectively and efficiently address issues like that when they come up. So
rather than waiting for him to kind of whack us in the
we hope.
If you are just joining us, we are meeting today with Port Townsend City Councilor Owen Rowe and City Attorney Heidi Greenwood, and we are talking about the Culture and Society Subcommittee of Port Townsend's City Council. Melody suggested we talk about societal infrastructure, and I thought that was an interesting term and not a term I'd heard before.
It's something that comes up, and I know Melody gets it from some of the discussion about the role of libraries, public libraries, mm-hmm. in kind of Western civilization, or at least in the U.S.
Oh, are they a place to, can be controversial, are they a place simply to borrow books, are they a place to meet, are they a place to, you know, to have social interaction? Are
all
they,
of the above.
All
there,
of the
there
above.
There are third place, they're kind of... where democracy happens in a lot of ways, because it's where you learn about your community, uh-huh. and where you meet your community, and where you talk with each other and engage. And you know, so some of that, there are different ways of implementing that, but I know, for instance, the Port Townsend Library has started a series of programs, which are taped and available online, on how your city works.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's something that, you know, may not be top of the list of what you think of going to your library for, but the library is a city department and is engaged in helping people understand how their city works.
And this is in some ways down the same kind of pathway that that lays something like Engage PT.
Yeah.
And the effort on the part of our city government to get people to step up and get involved, and you know,
and that's that stepping up and getting involved. That is another thing that the Culture and Society Committee does, which is the volunteer recognition.
Okay,
April is Volunteer Appreciation Month, and volunteers are not just you know, people who might be, you know, collecting trash or helping maintain a trail.
That's important.
those are very important, yeah. And we do want to recognize and thank them for their efforts. But city advisory boards themselves
are volunteers.
Those
right.
are residents who volunteer their expertise to support the city and to advise council and staff on appropriate decisions. So, and that is something that more recently has been highlighted on the Engage PT site. Mm-hmm. If you click on that button on the
cityofpt.us.
cityofpt.us/engagept.
Yep.
And one of the buttons, one of the top items on that list there is labeled Do, Volunteer Opportunities. And it talks about the different ways that people can get involved with the city.
Well, certainly one thing I've noticed since being in Port Townsend, and I'm pretty new here. It's only 11 years,
I'm at 26 myself.
Yeah,
so
no,
I'm,
I know.
I'm right. Starting all, to get
you're
used.
All
to it.
Starting to get used to it, but I guess my thought was that I've been blown away, frankly, at the level of volunteerism in the city. That for all these different organizations that they collect and engage volunteers to make our city a better place. Often the same volunteers show up in multiple organizations doing different things.
I've been guilty of that myself.
Yeah. Well, and I know that this city council thing is in some ways a labor of love, and
it's not volunteer, but yeah, the certainly not anywhere near minimum wage.
No. So would and this comes up, I think, because we have, you know, lots of new people in town, and one area that I you know, people say, well, you know, they come to town, it's a wonderful town, and you know, I'd like to go down to the, you know, the bed races or the, you know, whatever wooden boat show, and it's like, isn't this great, you know, the city does this? And it's like, well, yeah, the only reason it really works is because all these people are showing up to volunteer.
Right.
So I'm sort of thinking about outreach. How do we get more people who are new to town to step up and get engaged, and because it's going to make it more fun for them, frankly.
Right, and that's something I think there will be a big step up in that this spring and summer, farmers market and all of those opportunities. But it's been hard with COVID.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here in person, by the way, and let the record show the window is opened.
Yeah.
Okay. What else in society infrastructure? You mentioned the library. You mentioned advisory boards.
Well, one thing we're working on that hasn't come up to full council yet, we're proposing a new advisory board, the Equity, Access, and Rights Advisory Board. That's its current title, and that spells EAR. So there's a theme of listening there.
Okay.
And this
I'm not very good with equity.
Access and rights.
And rights. Okay.
And our idea with this is kind of a follow-on to, remember a couple of years ago after George Floyd was murdered and mm-hmm. there were Black Lives Matter protests mm-hmm. and a lot of other strong desire in the community.
And marches and, right.
So city council had a committee of the whole on public safety and law enforcement.
Right. I remember that.
Uh-huh. And that committee delivered some recommendations, one of which was the formation of an advisory board to address equity and rights for the community. And due to COVID and due to other delays, we haven't been able to really put this together until recently. And we're now we've got a solid draft of the plan, and we'll be looking at that in the committee meeting next month, March 8th, second Wednesday, 3 p.m., council chambers, and potentially moving that up to council very soon.
And then council would vote on it, and then you would throw it open to people to volunteer. If you got too many volunteers, you would then have to pick.
Yeah, and it, like any other advisory board where, you know, we get applications, and then actually it's the mayor who recommends with council approval of the choices.
Yeah. Actually, you know, you mentioned going to council for the vote. It brings me to a Heidi question, which is, as we talk about advisory boards, how are they I guess how are they covered in there? Is there something in our code that I'm not sure code is the right word. I've just been doing the infrastructure stuff, so I'm thinking code. But in our legal framework, are these defined? The list of committees is defined. Their functions are defined. How does that work?
Yes. So. There's probably too much information. In 2000, the city actually, all of our advisory boards used to live in the city municipal code, and they were actually pulled out of the municipal code. And they're all set up by resolution, though. So every one of our advisory boards has an enabling resolution or enabling legislation that kind of defines their role and what they are supposed to do. There are a couple that are statutory bodies. The Historic Preservation and Planning Commission live in actually the state code, but every one of them has an enabling resolution that kind of says, this is what you're going to do. This is your mission. And then each year, each advisory body actually puts together a work plan coming out of that resolution and looking at the city work plan and those items that they would be involved in. And this all actually lives in Article 4 of the City Council Rules of Procedure.
City Council Rules of Procedure. That's an interesting place to put it. Yeah.
What that allows is that we can change it relatively easily.
Right. I was just going to ask.
But
that
it
was
is
my
still
follow-up
visible
question.
To the public and available there for reference. So if any member of the public wants to read the City Council Rules of Procedure, you can go to the City Council page on the website, and there's a button there that takes you right to that full text.
Well,
it's
about
60 pages.
But there's some important stuff in there, like the one, what's one touch, what's two touch, that kind of stuff is in the city council rules, correct?
Yeah, and although those specific terms we actually moved away from when we updated them. But it is the rules about, you know, when does an issue come before council? How many times do we look at it? How does the public get the information?
How does the public get to comment on it?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, it's all in there.
So with these enabling resolutions, Heidi, that defines the sort of the role and scope of what the advisory board would do. Does it then become easier to for council to update them, or do they get updated very often?
Oh, yeah. We've updated several of them. For example, Parks and Recreation has kind of, their remit has actually grown a bit. We've added trees and trails to them throughout their history. Mm-hmm. I think they think they're going to get everything. It's kind of a standing joke that
one advisory board to rule them all.
Yeah.
I can see the joke now.
yeah. And just to be clear, that is a joke.
It's more
intended as humor, but having them as resolutions does make them easier to modify their missions a little bit. And like I said, it's all that those resolutions are kind of their broad mission. Mm-hmm. And then more specifically, they get specific tasking resolutions or taskings from council or from the council committees, as well as, you know, they do that work plan every year, which should, you know, kind of dovetail with the city work plan, so well, that we're all working on the same plan.
And I hate that I'm running out of time, because you said something there that was, you know, being tasked by council. Mm-hmm. That's a really, I know that happens with planning commission. The planning commission works on things that council says, we need you to look at this. And is the same true of advisory boards, Heidi?
Yes.
Yeah. And also of the council committees like culture and society. So, for instance, the Human Rights City resolution that council passed on Monday, mm-hmm. that initially came to us in public comment.
Uh-huh.
And
as
an idea, a member of the public submitted this idea, and council then voted to task the Culture and Society Committee with developing it and making sure it was ready for prime time. And then it came back to council
This is really the way for council to be able to subdivide the work out into organizations, so that the council as a whole can work efficiently.
Exactly.
While still having people have time to look at something in depth.
And it all connects back to that work plan and sharing that workload, so that staff and council are all working in the same direction.
I'm going to ask Heidi one more question, because you've mentioned work plan a couple times. Owen has too. Either one of you can jump in on this. But the work plan is a document is it a document that's developed by the council? This is something you start at your offsite each year?
It's developed really by the city manager, with staff and council input.
Right.
And then that is where we kind of take the budget process, and then items on that work plan will be coming to council over the following year.
So this is where sometimes people will say, well, but I didn't know, and this is,
and this on council we've been thinking about that since last May.
And this is the first place to look. So to look at the work plan, is that document online also?
Yeah,
I'm guessing it is.
It's updated. We actually have a council workshop meeting that reviews an update and status every quarter.
Ah, okay. All right. We're kind of out of time. We're into the music part of things. But before we do that, is there any, Heidi or Owen, is there anything that is, I guess, particularly important to you that we should cover, that you want to let folks know? No?
We'd love to have public engagement. Come to our meetings. Log in online.
Yeah. You know, that's exactly...
And that goes for everything that...
That's exactly what John and I discuss each week on any given topic. One more thing I want to mention is, you know, we were joshing a little bit the Parks and Recreation Committee, but I know a couple members of that, and they, as all the committees, the advisory boards do good work.
Yeah.
And so we can joke that, you know, one committee's going to, you know, one.
They can handle it.
But any of them, I think, probably could. So I'm just going to shout out to the Parks and Recreation Committee for doing good work. Okay.
Of course.
All right.
And we would specifically love everybody's feedback, as Owen mentioned, on that new advisory board. That's one of the things we're really looking for feedback on in the Culture and Society Committee.
Ear, right?
Yep. Equity, access, and rights. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just going to write down ear. That'll be in my, we pull this show off and then put it up on the web later on.
Right. And then you write the little summary.
And I write a little summary.
There we go.
And I do that. Okay. So if you're a regular listener, and I know Owen is, you know that I like to transition from Bureaucracy Now into Blues Journey with music, because it's a music show, and I thought, given that we're doing and you know what's coming, because we talked about it before the show started,
but I've never heard this song.
But I thought that given we were talking about the Port Townsend culture, what better thing to do than to feature one of our wonderful local musicians, and that is John Greyhound Maxwell. And he has an album out from a few years ago that I very much like. I played it in the show a lot. It's called Even Good Dogs Get the Blues. And he has a song on that called My Town. And I had to listen. And I think this is based on I'm guessing this is his, this may be his composition, but it's certainly based on a sort of a Depression era song, which was really about how the how the world is full of wonderful things like cotton candy trees and whiskey flowing from springs. So this is My Town, John Greyhound Maxwell. And thank you, too, by the way, for joining us today.
Thanks, Taylor.
Yep. This happens. Oh, yes.
Get yourself down to the kitchen and